Does it sometimes seem no matter what we do in certain things, we don't seem to get it right? You know, and even if I do get it right sometimes, if I'm working on something like that and I get it fixed, and I have a tendency to check and make sure I did do it right, so I take it apart, and then when I go to put it back together again, I usually break something. It's just human nature, I guess. But getting it right is hard. The Apostle Paul talked about it in Romans, and I'll look at that scripture in a minute. But if you ever noticed, no matter what some people do, they just say, whoop, no matter what they do, they get it wrong. I love Paul Harvey. God rest his soul. Paul Harvey was a great commentator, and I always liked it when he closed his program. Paul Harvey, good day. And he had wrote some books, and he told a lot of stories over the years. And this is one I want to share with you. This was in his book entitled For What It's Worth. And he tells about a county jail in South Florida where jail officials found a plastic trash bag hanging on the bars of the cell. And inside was a prisoner by the name of Jimmy Jones who hoped that he would be getting taken out with the trash and that he might have accomplished that except for one thing. You know, in the jails and the prisons, they do roll call. And during roll call, they called out, Jimmy Jones! And from inside that bag was a muffled sound that says, here! It's just strange sometimes how people can't seem to get things right. There was somebody else that did a series on dumb criminals, I think it was, or something like that. Then there's also in a book by the name This Is True by Randy Casingham. And he reported this story in the Chicago Tribune. He said, one evening, allegedly drinking about 10 beers, Stephen Glenn, 38 years old, of Plainfield, Illinois, thought it would be a good idea to light a 10-inch commercial fireworks shell that he had. In his house, he set it up and he lit it in the middle of his living room. Plainfield Fire Chief John Eichelberger said, the whole house is pretty much a disaster. From the concussion and the explosion and the smoke, the house is basically total. Glenn was treated and released. His girlfriend, Shauna Adams, 33 years old, was hospitalized also in a fair condition. And the sad part, it wasn't even his house. It was a rental house. It's just strange that some people can't seem to get it right. Now, we may not be able to get it right on our own either, but the good news is that the Apostle Paul says that we have been made right with God, and that is the very good news that we proclaim this morning. For those of us who seem to get it wrong all the time, we have hope in Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through, I put 1 through 8 in the bulletin, but I'll do it 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to the sharing of God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. We don't wonder about that sometimes, that these trials and tribulations can be good for us. But they usually turn out to be good because they help us to learn to endure. And endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confidence, our confident expectations of salvation. And this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from his judgment. For since we were restored to fellowship with God by the death of his Son, while we were still enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, making us friends of God. I always love that hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. The commentary there says, praying for safety comes to us naturally. We can all really think of situations that we can avoid if we have the choice. But the Apostle Paul assumes that believers are not always guaranteed safety from a trial and suffering. While God does not keep us from all hardship, He does promise to transform our struggles into strong character and patient hope. And He also promises us eternal hope where there is these difficulties. There will be no more in the times of trouble. Faith assures us that when God does not grant safety or healing, He gives us something better, Himself. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hope you heard all of that as it radiates from Scripture. That you and I have been made right with God through Jesus Christ. If you think about that, we don't have to wonder whether we're found acceptable or not when we stand before the throne of grace. We don't have to keep trying to earn our salvation, because what Christ has done, those of us who often accept it forget that we have been made right with God. We are righteous. We are in right standing. But how does all this take place? How are we made right with God? Through faith. The Apostle Paul said we received all of this simply through faith. And he writes, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God our Lord through Jesus Christ. Now for me, that's just probably one of the key verses in this passage. The writer, Wilford Hopi, was asked about characters that she had in her book named South Riding. And they were uniformly untrustworthy. She was asked a question, why did you put those kind of characters in there like that? She said, I intended to make them good, but they would not be. I think that describes us, all of us, if we face it. Most of us can't and don't always do what is right or righteous. We miss the mark. We don't get it right. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, as it says in Scripture. And consequently, then there is a gulf between us and God, and our peace with God is destroyed. Christ is one who bridges that gulf and restores peace with Him. Through our faith in Christ Jesus, we are forgiven and accounted righteous in God's eyes. Through our faith in Christ, we are declared innocent and we are acquitted of any wrongdoing. Praise be to the Holy Lamb of God. Through our faith in Christ, we are declared blameless and guiltless. And all of the jagged edges that line up are straightened out, tall before God, because we are justified through Christ. Apart from Christ, it's not possible for us to be justified. Apart from Christ, we might think that something is laid to rest, dead and buried, gone. I like what the psalmist said, that he takes all of our sins and put them in the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again. Except we want to use them for His glory, we can get them out and look at them and share our testimony with somebody. But the devil does something crazy with us. Now, he can't read your mind, but he can play tricks on your mind. And every once in a while, he might be sitting on one of your shoulders and remind you of a sin, or remind you of something that would haunt you and just challenge you. That's not the resurrection that Jesus Christ was talking about. Jesus offers forgiveness, freedom from guilt forever. So whenever you're challenged with all that haunting stuff of the past, I say, Lord, get thee behind me, Satan, in Jesus' precious name. In a San Diego courtroom, two young men on trial for robbery. And a witness was being examined by the prosecuting attorney, who asked the following sequences of questions. Were you at the scene when the robbery took place? He asked the witness that was on the stand. Yes, sir. And did you observe these two robbers? Again, the witness said, yes, sir. The attorney then turned up the heat as he was challenging this witness, and he said, are those two men present in the courtroom today? Well, there wasn't any need for the witness to answer or for the jury to deliberate. deliberate, it wasn't too long that two defendants raised their hands. Were they of those two robbers in the courtroom today? And they sat there and, yep, raised their hands. There's no need for the witness to answer or the jury to deliberate, because it was just like, boom, there it was right in front of them. And it's through trust. There's a scene in C.S. Lewis. By the way, if you haven't seen The Shack, I recommend it highly. It's an allegory, but it is a well-put-together movie, and it's a tearjerker, so be prepared for that. But if you read the book, the movie it lives up to the book. C.S. Lewis wrote a lot of allegories. And in his book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, in which the children are asked about Aslan, the lion, and if you've never read these wonderful stories of Narnia, I suggest those also, because they are really good. Aslan is the Christ figure in Lewis's story. As the children look at Aslan, then they ask, is he safe? And the reply from the other characters is, of course he's not safe, but he's good. Now, the same thing could probably be said about Christ. He looked safe. He looked harmless. But he turned out to be anything but. For he challenged the disciples, and he challenges us even today through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit, as he is here with us this morning. He challenges us to trust him completely and to follow him. Jesus has challenged us to move beyond our comfort zone. He calls us, like he did the disciples, to step out in faith and to follow him. It may not be safe, but it's a good thing. For when we put our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, then we are justified before God. Keep hearing that word, justify. It's an interesting word. And it has three different major uses in the English language. First, it's a legal term, which means the opposite or condemn. It means to show or give satisfactory reason for something, doing something. And the second thing is in the printing business. It's used to describe the process of taking the ragged edges out of a printing job, or even in our old typewriters where we have to justify the paper that we were doing. Most Bibles and newspapers and many other printed things are this way, just to make sure the edges of the text are spaced and the letters are correctly lined up. They are justified. And the third thing is a theological term, which means to make one righteous through freeing them from the blame and guilt of sin through forgiveness. My favorite scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who shall ever believe in him should not die, but have everlasting life. But if you look at the very next verse, in John 3:17, Jesus said, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The second thing is the process of salvation. God straightens up all those ragged edges, all those lines of our life, and he puts them into what we call spiritual holiness. There we are set free from guilt, and our sin are offered as forgiveness we receive. That's a joyous thing if we simply trust God and trust Christ. Even in our suffering sometimes, we are challenged by this thing called justification through faith. This justifying faith and trust breeds confidence in our future. As Christians, we believe tomorrow will be better than today. Why? Because we believe that God holds the future. The light at the end of the tunnel isn't the oncoming train. It's the light of God's glory. It's the light of Christ. We can have faith that even if we should do wrong again or things go terribly wrong in our lives, we can ask God to forgive us and to give us the grace and straighten us back out and get us back on the path. You know how he can do that? Because he's always faithful. And it's not unusual for horrible or just weird circumstances to use beneficial results as a meaning of bringing glory to God. There was a man once who tried to kill Samuel Bengley by throwing a brick at his head. Can you imagine? You get these crazy people today out and doing all these riots and stuff. Anyhow, he wanted to kill this guy, so he threw a brick at his head. And it hit him. He's in the hospital a long, long time. But during that time he was in the hospital, he wrote some very inspiring articles. and they were put into a little book called Helps to Holiness. And the book was a huge success. And his wife said, and asked about how he was able to put together this book. She said, had there been no brick, there would have been no book. You see, she kept the brick and had some of the words from the Old Testament printed on it. And these words came from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You remember when Joseph spoke these words to the brothers who sold him into slavery? This is what she had written on the brick. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. Sometimes it happens just like that. Sometimes we think that the most tragic event in our life can happen that the world's at an end. Later on, we realize it was a triumph. But even if it doesn't, there's still good news. The Apostle Paul said that even when we see no beneficial results, at least with God's help, we can keep growing. Nothing that happens in this world is in vain if we entrust it to God. Most of us will say that some of the most valuable lessons we ever learned, and I know that I can speak from experience, that I learned in life came through adversity. Sometimes just hanging on, not giving up, not giving in, and takes whatever we can do to get it right. The Apostle Paul said this, we boast our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God loves us. And he poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has given us hope. There's a story about how Louis VII of France, how he was treated by his enemies and before he ascended onto the throne of being king of France. Because before coming to power, he was cast into prison and he was kept in chains. Later, when he did become king, he was urged to seek revenge. Get those guys that did that to you, king. Get them. Put them down here in that dungeon and let them do to them what they did to you. So he sat down and he prepared a scroll. We listed all of those peoples and all the crimes that was against him. But behind every person's need, he placed a cross in red ink. When the guilty people heard about this scroll that he made, putting a red cross next to their name, they feared for their life and they fled. So the king was asked to explain, what's that meaning? Well, he said, the cross, which I drew beside each name, was not a sign of punishment, but a pledge of forgiveness extended for the sake of the crucified Savior, upon whose cross forgave his enemies and prayed for them. Now, we know what kind of lives we lead. Nobody has to tell us. We're in control of our own life. We know our life. We know what we do. We know what we think. And nobody has to challenge us. And we have to admit to ourselves that we don't always get it right. And as a consequence, sometimes we lose all hope. We see the cross and we think only of the judgment and the consequences of our actions. And we're consumed sometimes by guilt. And sometimes that guilt gets in the way of accepting God's grace and forgiveness. And we get the message of grace all mixed up. When in actuality, the good news is that all we need to really do is to simply trust God through faith. Faith that we claim. Faith that we say that we have. And I don't want to oversimplify it because sometimes people are terrified of being justified because they think they might be modified and their lives might be nullified. Well, you will be grateful to know that I hope that you know that when you are justified, we are not nullified, but we are dignified and classified and identified with the one who was crucified and glorified by God. Our lives are purified and fortified by the one who is exemplified through God's love. And through the mystified, how we can be justified by faith to the one who was dissatisfied, we are edified. Our faith is intensified and revitified. Through our faith, we are certified, justified and made a bona fide child of the living God through Christ. And I hope that clarified what it means to be justified and amplified the message to be testified by the Apostle Paul. It's all them fied. So once we are justified, we can find peace with God through faith in Christ. That's what it's all about. And like the disciples, we, like all Christians, Christian is somebody who simply follows the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only follows him, but try to do the best of our ability to what he teaches to keep us out of a mess. Like the disciples, all of us Christians are called to follow Jesus Christ. And we are justified by faith through Christ, and we will be strengthened in every way to follow him. That's the challenge for all of us. This is a crazy world out there. And getting it right simply means getting right with God. That's where the start is. As we want to pray for our leaders in this country, we have a wonderful country. We are probably the greatest country on the earth, not because we're better than anybody else, is because our form of government that the founding fathers left us and gave to us allows us to govern ourselves. We don't always have to agree. But like the Bible, the Word of God, God gave us his Word for us to follow. Of course, Jesus isn't here right now to talk to us in person, but he is through the Holy Spirit, and he gives us his Word, and we don't understand the Word. We say, oh, I don't understand the Bible. Well, you simply say, because he is also a teacher, Holy Spirit, teach me, and he will show you and help you understand the Scriptures. My friend Perry, I call him Perry Mason, Perry Stone was teaching on this very thing yesterday in his last thing, talking about the Scriptures and how the translations sometimes have, because there's not enough of words in English language or enough of words in the Greek to make true some of the original manuscripts so that they do the best they can with the translations. But I agree with him. One thing that we can rely on is the spiritual truth of God's Word. As long as it's an accurate translation or a translation that tried to follow the original text, you can't take the spiritual truth away from God's Word, no matter what translation you use. So we need to do that, because the Founding Fathers also gave us a document very similar. In fact, it was based on Scripture. If you look at history, you'll see that almost everything in our Constitution, including our civil laws, which are the Ten Commandments, basically, they watered them down and got them all mixed up. But we have a document. We have a form of government that we can be justified in this country through the rule of law. We are a people that have been blessed. Why I was born in the United States of America, I don't know, but I thank God every day that I was. And I also thank God for those ones who come to our country legally and learn and to be assimilated into our culture, not coming, bringing their own culture here. That's some of the problems that we have now. But assimilating into our culture and following the rule of law in our country, just as we as Christians can follow God's rule of law. Father, thank you, praise you for this opportunity to just to share, Lord, a little bit what the Apostle Paul was teaching. We look at the Gospels a lot and we know what Jesus has taught, but the Apostle Paul in his own way, because he was also persecuting the church until he was knocked off of his, I don't know if he was riding a horse or what he was doing, but he was knocked down to the ground. And a voice from heaven said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he changed and he understood that Christ had come to make a difference. And he changed his name from Saul to Paul. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he penned them through the Holy Spirit, showing us how to operate in the church and showing us how to live and to be able to understand this message. We have a tendency sometimes to complicate it, but it's a simple message for simple people if we only learn to follow it. By simply humbling ourselves in the sight of God. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we just pray that everybody here this morning has made that decision for you. And they're just going through their life trying to do the best they can one day at a time and learning more about you. But sometimes we have a tendency just to fall back, and we need to take time to repent and to be able to reflect and reaffirm our faith in you. It doesn't take much, because all we have to do is talk to you. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I went on the wrong path. I need some help to get back on track. And I can assure you, if you say it with a true heart feeling, God will hear you and help you along life's merry way. And thank you for this little church known as Bethel United Methodist Church, a powerful history of people who has proclaimed this faith in Christ in this community for a long, long, long time. It's the best-kept secret in Tallahassee for a small church in the middle of a city. And we just ask that if you don't have a church home, that you would consider this to be your church home. We'd love to talk to you about it. Always talk to you. Make yourself available to talk about your faith, to talk about struggles, and sharing the Word of God with you. And I give you the glory this morning in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.